That's where we want to be. As we bring our series of heaven to a close, I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 1 to 4, where the saints of God will be. Sounds like home to me. Paul writing to the church at Colossians to encourage them, to instruct them in some false teaching that they had. Their mindset was on the wrong things. And so he's encouraging them to have their mind set on the things above. And he says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for that hope and that reality of heaven. All that you've been teaching us through your word these weeks, of the glorious place that you are providing now and the glorious day when heaven will come down to earth and you will live with us here. Lord, we long for that day. And Lord, that is our hope that gives us strength in living. In the midst of hard times, in the midst of sickness or all that we may go through, it is that hope and assurance and reality of heaven and our home awaiting us that gives us the strength to live, the power and the ability to endure. So Lord, may we have our heart and our mind set on those things above, that in these days that we face, may have the strength and the courage to live for you as your faithful disciples on earth. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. What we put our mind on, what we set our mind to, will determine a lot about in ways in which we live and how we think. And Paul was writing here to the Colossians to encourage them to put their mind on heaven and to have a heavenly point of view. And there is a song called Heaven on My Mind, and talking about having that view of heaven on our mind, because when we have a heavenly mindset, it will make a difference. It will change everything. It is a heavenly mindset that gives us the strength in the midst of difficult times. Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, gave them several reasons why we need to have heaven on our mind and how that changes us. And when heaven is on our mind, it changes everything. Because we no longer get depressed for focusing on what's life on down here, but we focus on eternity and in what is most important. When we have heaven on our mind, it changes the way in which we live our life, first of all, because things will change when we're heaven focused on heaven and not on earth, because it motivates the way we live each day for God's glory. Paul says here, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for Christ, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And he encouraged that when we have our mind focused on him, we're motivated to live each day for the glory of God. And that's the purpose, to live the day that when our life is over and God calls us home, do we hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into all I prepared. And friends, I don't know, but that's what I'm living for. Is that what you're living for? That hope to hear Christ say, you've done well. And all that we do in our life should be to bring glory to him. And this past week in our study that we've been doing with Dale Tackett in the Truth Project, he had a quote by a scholar on there who is a scientific scholar who was arguing for what it is like when there is no hope of heaven. And the belief that all this world, all we have is this world here and now. And if all we have to live for is this world here and now, then there is no hope. And that's what basically he was saying. He said, when we die, we die. That's it. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry. At the end of life, there's nothing to look forward to. And if that's all we have is this life with no hope of anything better, what is there? But we have the hope to know that there is a home waiting for us. And it motivates us to live each day for His glory, to make Him smile. Because if we don't have that and the hope of heaven, what purpose and meaning is there in a life? What reason is there to go on in all that we face every day? But He gives us that reason to live for His glory and to live each day with gratitude to Him. When we think of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and the beautiful place He's preparing, and we, in our study, we've looked at that. We've looked just a brief description of the New Jerusalem and of what God's house in heaven's like even now, and all that He is preparing for you and I. And it gives us that heart of gratitude to think that He is doing that and preparing that for you and for me. And a heart of gratitude, of thanksgiving to our God for His goodness, first in salvation, and second in the wonderful inheritance that He is giving to us. We are absolutely assured of. And a heart of thanksgiving. And it motivates us as well to live each day for what really matters. Setting our heart on the things above, living each day for eternity, because that's really what matters. C.J. Studd said, "Only one life, and it will soon be past. It's only what's done for Christ that will last." Living for what will last for eternity. Not our car, not our house, not our possessions, not what we acquire. There's only two things that will endure, and that is God's word and people. And it should be our North Star. Heaven should be our North Star, our compass, guiding us, living each day with that hope of our home that is awaiting us, that Jesus is preparing. And so having that heavenly mindset is important because it will change the way in which we live. Living our life for the glory of God with thanksgiving. For those that do not know Jesus, life for them is hopeless. And if they don't have that assurance of heaven, and all we have, as Paul said, there is no resurrection, and all we do is eat, drink, might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. There is no hope. What is there to live for? But it changes everything when we know that heaven is our home, doesn't it? It gives real meaning and purpose to life. It changes the way we live our life, but it also changes the way we look at things. Notice what he says in verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not where? On earthly things. Don't become so consumed with the things of this earth that we are seeking to grab all we can. The world says we only go around once, grab everything we can and get all we can. But, and those with the most toys wins. But no, our heart, our mind, we should be living with the mindset of eternity. That's what matters. Because when we do, it provides a proper view of our possessions, realizing that we need to hold loosely to what we have. What is most important is laying our treasures up in heaven, not seeking to build treasures here, not seeking to acquire all that we can here, but seeking to live for the Lord and His glory. It is so countercultural to our culture that says, who has the most wins. But you've heard the adage, I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. The only things we can send ahead is what we invest in eternity. So holding loosely to what we have and realizing that all of this earth is all that is not of Christ is going to burn up. And it's only what's done for Jesus that will last. So don't get so tied on to the things of this world. This world really, there's a song that says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. But we've learned that that's not really true. We learned this world is our home because this is where we're going to spend it when the Lord remakes it. But yet we don't want to live, we want to live for eternity with eternity in view, not for the things of this world, but living to bring glory to Him. Keeping a close, loose hand on our possessions and realizing what we have, God's given them to us for His glory, not for us to acquire to ourselves. But using and investing in is what is most important. It also changes the way of our perspective on how we look at in perspective in times of trial and suffering. It changes the way we look at things in times of trial and suffering because we know that there is a better day coming. There is a day coming when heaven comes to earth, or when we go with Him, all tears will be gone. All sorrow will be banished. All sickness and suffering will be gone forever. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more separation. And we're going through those times of trial and suffering now. We know that this is the worst it will ever be for us, because we have something far better to look forward to. And when we're going through times of trial and suffering, they can be intense, and sometimes we can lose our perspective and we start focusing on what we're going through and the earthly trials and suffering that we're in the midst of, and we lose our perspective because we're not focused on heaven and we're looked at the things we're in the midst of, and we can lose our perspective and realize that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And that our suffering, as Paul says in Romans, that our suffering that we go through now is just but temporary in light of the eternity that is in store for us in the presence of Jesus forever. There our suffering will be relieved in anticipating heaven. Anticipating heaven doesn't eliminate our pain, but it does lessen it and put it into perspective. When we know that what we're facing here is just temporary in light of eternity, it doesn't eliminate it, but it gives us the ability to put things in right perspective. Paul says, look and set your mind on things above, not on the earthly things. But so often we can do that. Our suffering, our pain, our trials can focus us to look there instead of forgetting to look up to Jesus. It reminds us that our suffering and sickness are only temporary. And when we have a clear understanding about heaven and eternity, trials and troubles may shake us, but they will not break us, because we know where our true home lies. It also changes the way we look at things because it provides perseverance in times of adversity. Whenever we go through times of adversity and hardship, we know that there is coming a day when all heartache will end. All trials, all that will be over, and we will be in the presence of Christ forever. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, and our trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So barely run the race till we see Jesus. And it changes the way we look at things because it provides peace in the face of death. Just this past week, when we had Randy's service, Jim shared at the service, and as hard as that was, you knew Randy was with the Lord. And it gave you that peace to know, as we stood at his graveside, he can still rejoice and there's still peace there. Carolyn, all of us that had faced death, as hard as it is, and those times of a death is hard, but because we, Sandy, you know, but because we have the assurance of heaven, we have peace even in the face of death. Because we know that this world, there's more beyond it. And we know that our parting is only temporary, and that we, those who have passed on, are already with Jesus, and someday we will join them there. And Paul says, we grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Amen. So we have that peace in the midst of death because we're not leaving home when we die. We're going home. That's really where we're meant to be, in eternity in the presence of Jesus. Our Lord created us for eternity. And when we say goodbye to someone here, remember they're actually, we're going home to be with our Lord. And it gives us peace to know that death is not the end, it's really the beginning. That's when we really start living. That's when we really start enjoying the life God intended us to have when we are in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. And so it is that hope of heaven, having our mindset there, that gives us peace in the face of death. How it changes how we look at things, our possessions, our trials, our adversity, our suffering, and death itself. Because if we didn't have that assurance of heaven, all indeed would be hopeless. So Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. But have that heavenly mindset because it changes the way you live. It motivates us to live for Christ and to run the race with perseverance that's marked out for us. It changes the way we look at our trials, our suffering, and death itself, but also changes the way we love others. Because if heaven is real, and it is, and that God is going to prepare a place for those who love him and know him, if heaven is real, so is hell. And those who don't know Jesus are going to eternity as well, but their eternal destiny is not going to be what we've been talking about and the joys of heaven. Their eternal destiny will be in the blackness and the darkness and separation of hell for all eternity. Where the Bible says the worm dies not and the fire is never quenched and eternal suffering. We don't like to talk about that. We like to talk about the joys of heaven, but the reality of hell is just as real. And those who don't know Jesus, that's where eternity for them will take them. And so having that heavenly eternal mindset, this changes the way we love others, because if there's those in your family, those in your neighbor, those you know who don't know Jesus, our heart of love for them is to have that burden to pray, to share the love of Christ with them, that they too don't have to be there. As Charlie Kirk said, his goal was to make heaven more crowded, to have more and more people there, because God so loved the whole world and didn't want anyone to perish. Heaven is for real, and heaven is our source and our motivation. And because heaven is for real, it changes the way we think. So I'm going to ask you a question. A question that Dr. Del Tackett's been asking us in these last couple weeks in our Truth Project. If you went through this, you may remember this question. It says, do you really or do I really believe that what you believe is really real? We can say that, yes, we believe heaven is real. We've been studying about it. We've been hearing what the Lord has to say about it. But do you really believe in your heart, down deep, that what you believe is really real? Do you really believe it? Because if you do, then how is it affecting the way you live today? Because if you really believe it is real, heaven is real, then you will live for him. You will share his love with those, because with those who don't know Christ. It will change the way we live. It will change our outlook. It will be truly get down to radically changing us, making a difference in how we live our life. And how does that affect the way in which you view eternity? If you really believe heaven is real, how does it affect the way you view eternity and those and our view and our hope that we have in Christ? In his book, Heaven, Randy Alcorn shares a story that he about C.S. Lewis, who wrote a letter to a woman who feared about her own death, because if we really believe heaven is real, we don't have to have that fear. We can go into death with confidence. We can have that peace and assurance. And for 5 months before she died, C.S. Lewis wrote to a woman who feared her own death was imminent. So Lewis said to her, quoting him, "Can you not see death as a friend and deliverer? What is there to be afraid of? Your sins are confessed. Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave with regret? There are better things ahead than any we ever leave behind. Our Lord says to you, 'Peace, child, peace, relax, let go, I will catch you.' Do you trust me so little?" Of course, this may not be the end, but then make it a good rehearsal. And that's what he said to her. Lewis signed the letter, "Yours, and like you, a tired traveler near journey's end." We see life differently when we realize that death isn't but a turnstile. It's a small obstacle that marks a new beginning. And when we realize that heaven is real, so set our mind, our heart on things above, it changes the way we live. It changes the way we look at things. It changes the way we love others. In his book on heaven, Randy Alcorn asks us some questions. In light of heaven, in light of having a heavenly mindset, some things we need to ponder. And one question he says is, "Do I daily remind myself that this world is not my home and that everything in it will burn, leaving behind only what is eternal?" Do I really think about that? "Do I daily recognize that my choices and actions have a direct influence in the world to come? Do I daily realize that my life is being examined by God, the audience of one, and that the only appraisal of my life that really matters is His, and living my life for His glory? And do I daily reflect on the fact that my ultimate home will be the new earth, where I will see God and serve Him as a resurrected being and a resurrected human society, where I will overflow with joy and delight in drawing nearer to God by studying Him and His creation, where I will exercise to God's glory dominion over His creation?" That's what we have to look forward to. What our mindset is and where our focus is where our attention's going to be. And Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. We need to live with heaven on our mind, because that changes the way we live, it changes the way we look at things, and it changes the way we love others. So the question this morning is, are you heavenly minded? I want to introduce you to a lady whose name is Eliza Hewitt. "When We All Get to Heaven" is a hymn that we all know well. It was a Christian hymn written by Eliza Hewitt in 1898. And she praises the wonderful love of Jesus and looks forward to the day that we will all be reunited in heaven again. But Eliza Hewitt was born in 1851 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She went to school locally and graduated as the valedictorian of her class at the Girls' Normal School. She then began teaching in the Philadelphia area at the Northern Home for Friendless Children. One day in 1887, while overseeing her students in the playground, she unfortunately suffered a severe back injury that was caused by a student who struck her across the back with a heavy slate after being disciplined. As a result, she was put in a heavy cast for 6 months. And though partially recovered, she remained an invalid for an extended period of time of her life, forced to bed, dealing with the pain for the rest of her life. Although Eliza could have been resentful, and no one could have blamed her for it, she felt the presence of the Lord while confined to her bed, and she started studying literature and English while recovering from her injury. Barely did she know that she was being prepared by God to write poetry and hymns, And these two subjects would be proved to be very useful. As Eliza recovered some of her strength in her later years, she was able to get around slowly. And she attended the summer Methodist camp meeting in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, and attended the grand auditorium where we had the privilege to go. There's pictures of it, and she would go to services there. Here at Ocean Grove, New Jersey, she met Emily D. Wilson, and they formed a great friendship, and they worshiped and studied together, and together at Ocean Grove, New Jersey, created this hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. The hymn was first published in 1898 in Pentecostal Praises, but her back problems would later arise at times and put her down for long. But she endured Sunday school, and most of her hymns were intended for children in Sunday school. She was a close friend of Fanny Crosby, who also was a great hymn writer. And her cousin, Edgar Page Stites, also was a hymn writer. She lived all her life in Philadelphia and died on April 24th, 1920 in Philadelphia, and is buried there in Philadelphia. But she was one who, in the midst of her trials, in the midst of her pain, had that hope of heaven and said, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it's going to be. Her mind and her mindset was there. It was not on her pain. It was not on her trials. It was not on her adversity that had beset her, that she could barely get out of bed without a lot of pain. But it was focused on heaven. And that's what gave her the strength to live. Changing the way we live, changing the way we look at things, and changing the way we love others. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for that hope of heaven and that reality that we have. That when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see you, Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. That is our hope. That's what we live for. And Lord, may we have heaven on our mind. That in the midst of the trials and adversity and the times of suffering that we go through here, it's having a heavenly mindset that gives us the strength to endure and to persevere, and knowing that this life is only temporary. There is something far better ahead for us. And so, Father, help us to live for your glory, to live with eternity in view, living each day for what really matters and counts, looking at the things we have and our possessions loosely, realizing that what really matters is for eternity. And Lord, loving others around us because we want them to join us in heaven too. We don't want anyone to leave and go through the horrors of hell. So help us to love those around us as you do and to point them to you that they too can know your love, the one who died for us. So Lord, help us to set our mind on things above, not on the earth, things on the earth, that we may live in a way that glorifies you, with heaven in our heart, heaven on our mind, heaven that is our motivation and our joy, of that someday we will be with you forever, or you will come down and live with us on this earth when it's transformed for all eternity. We thank you for that hope and that reality and all that you've been teaching us in the wonderful place that you prepared and are preparing for us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.